We're talking with the leader of the state DNR, Department of Natural Resources, on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Secretary Preston Cole gave a budget briefing before the Joint Finance Committee last Wednesday. He urged lawmakers to support the governor's budget that calls for $20 million over the next 2 years for the monitoring, the testing, remediation of PFAS, the human-made toxic forever chemicals that are building up in our environment. What are your questions on how the state is handling PFAS contamination and wastewater sampling standards? Do you worry about nitrates and pathogens from runoff? What do you want to ask the DNR head? 800-642-1234. Preston Cole is Secretary of the DNR. Secretary Cole, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It is always a pleasure to be on one of the largest drive time radio shows in the country. And so thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Let's start with PFAS. The DNR has identified contamination around the state, dozens of sites, including Campbell, the town near La Crosse on the Mississippi, where the state is offering residents cases of bottled water. Can you tell us about the PFAS problem that you see?
Well, yet another community is encumbered by PFAS in their wells. And certainly the folks on French Island and town of Campbell, you know, may not have seen this coming. And now we've worked with the Air National Guard to provide bottled water in about 200 homes. And again, we understand the fear and, you know, the hesitancy from the folks who live on French Island. But it's just a testament that PFAS continues to wreak havoc in our water systems in many communities around the state of Wisconsin. Our responsibility at the DNR is to leverage using the governor's budget initiative. You know, we're talking one time $10 million each year of the biennium, and following the PFAS action plan that he called for, let's begin in earnest to do what we've done since the 70s. Using our groundwater laws, we've taken approximately 138 chemicals off the landscape. We know exactly how to approach this new harmful chemical. We like to work with industry. We want to continue to work with local fire departments to get these chemicals out of their storerooms. We know that they need assistance. And so this is a public health issue. And again, yet another community, Prince Island, is encumbered by problems in their drinking water.
When you say we know exactly how to approach this, these are forever chemicals in our environment. They don't go away. How do you approach this problem?
Well, the first is testing.
Here's, we just lost Preston Cole here, who is the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. We've been talking about PFAS contamination in Wisconsin, and you can join in what you have seen with PFAS, how you want the state to handle PFAS contamination. What can it be done? How worried are you about these chemicals in drinking water? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org as we work to get the Secretary of the DNR, Preston Cole, back on the line with us as we talk about a range of issues with the DNR. Did you take part in the recent wolf hunt? Will you sign up for the next one? How should the state manage wolf hunts? What do you want to talk about with the Secretary of the DNR? Are you an avid state park visitor? Have you been to any state parks recently? And if so, how are they working? What have you noticed about them amid the pandemic? What questions do you have for the State Department of Natural Resources as it works to preserve natural resources around the state? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org as we work to get Preston Cole, Secretary of the DNR, back on the line. Secretary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry that we lost you there for a moment. You were talking about PFAS and how to approach this problem because you have insights.
Yeah, and again, the PFAS Action Plan calls for setting the standards around human health conditions, and we rely on our public health officials at the Department of Health Service to give us that information. They've set for groundwater, for example, 20 parts per trillion, which is a small number. We're talking about four drops of PFAS in an Olympic-sized pool that will put you in the harm's way. Then we go on to set our sampling regimes about where this chemical is and where it isn't in our water systems and on our land. You know, in Rhinelander, these plumes are far-fetched and into the community, as well as to drinking wells that emanate from the property there. Pollution prevention, and again, community engagement is key to all of this. And of course, the research that's currently going on around these chemicals, we know that there are folks in the industry that are moving away from this AFFF, which is the one that does a myriad of harmful, does harm to the human genome. And again, the technologies around remediating this look like, you know, everything from carbon mitigation to soil remediation and using high temperatures and a myriad of other technologies that are continuing to evolve. So we're excited that we have a roadmap. We just need the funding to begin.
Congressman Ron Kind of Wisconsin helped introduce legislation this week that would require the EPA to establish a national drinking water standard. What do you want out of the federal government on PFAS regulation?
Well, it's time for guidance. And again, myriad of states, you know, I think the number that was set by the previous administration was 70 parts per trillion. And then in Michigan, they have drinking water at something at 8 and groundwater something larger than that. You know, now it's time for us to have a national standard. You know, when we are encumbered with these types of chemicals, it is important for the federal government, for the EPA, to begin setting standards that we all can live by. Those national standards provide a guidepost that on one side of the highway, it could be one state with a high level, and there could be another state on the other side. That means that there's going to be winners and losers in terms of public health. And we need consistency out of our federal government, specifically the EPA, because they do the rulemaking on drinking water and groundwater and those types of activities. So we're hopeful that the new administration will begin in earnest to establish those guidelines for us.
I want to touch here on the business community and the lawsuit with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce filed against the DNR seeking to block your agency from requiring that certain facilities allow testing of wastewater for PFAS. Do you think the DNR should have the flexibility and authority to test wastewater for any types of contaminants and then deems necessary?
We believe that our groundwater laws, state statute, as well as our federal laws allow us to do testing in water systems, both wastewater and supply systems, when we are in the process of rulemaking. So we believe we stand on firm ground with that.
Do you think that you should be able to publish the wastewater data that you find?
Well, the court has ordered us to allow for the testing to occur and hold back on when, in fact, those names of companies are then entered into the public record. Mm-hmm. And so we will wait to hear back from the court and their guidance on a go-forward strategy around that particular issue.
Let's move on to wildfires. And as we've seen this year, hundreds of wildfires in Wisconsin destroying more than 1,500 acres. Governor Evers declaring a state of emergency due to fire conditions in early April. What can you tell us about the devastation?
Well, I will tell you that early in the season with, dry grasses, tall grass fields, and, of course, cattail ponds that are dry. Last year's, cattails have all dried up, provide a fuel for fire. We know that the high winds that we experienced early in the season led us to approximately well over 320 wildfires and burned approximately 1,400 acres. In Wisconsin, in March, April, and May, it's fire season for us. And currently, as we see grasses begin to green up and leaves become green, it slows it down a bit. However, you know, it's the winds and the burning that continue to harm us. We know that 98% of the fires are caused by humans. These traditionally emanate from burn piles or burn barrels on properties. Sparks get out and ignite. That puts that neighborhood and that community in harm's way as those winds begin to pick up. The approach that we take is that the governor's executive order for that state of emergency, specifically early in our season when we were seeing 40, 50, and 60-mile-hour winds, that it allowed us to go on offense and create a circumstance that if we need to call in the Air National Guard for Blackhawks, for extractions and those types of things, because public properties are at stake as well as human life, we then have that ready to go. And luckily, we have a low pressure area sitting on top of Wisconsin right now. While the humidity is still low, we know that these fires can spark at any time as the wind picks up. We're concerned.
Yeah, is this unusual to have so many fires sparked this early in the spring?
And again, it's the weather patterns. And
okay.
We know Wisconsinites are smart. You know, when the wind is over 5 or 10 miles an hour, let's wait. Let's bundle that garbage up. Let's put a cap on those burn piles and not burn when the conditions put us, property and human life, into harm's way. We have to be smart about this, and Wisconsinites are.
We're talking with DNR Secretary Preston Cole. He's with us as we discuss the work of his agency. During the pandemic, park passes and first-time fishing licenses soared. Are you getting outside more? What questions do you have for the DNR about recreation, about hunting, wildfires, other pressing issues dealing with our natural resources? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Secretary Cole here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with DNR Secretary Preston Cole. He's with us for 10 more minutes looking at issues facing the DNR. Let's bring in Jim now in River Falls. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
I just had a question. I know the Wisconsin Conservation Congress met this week, and I know there was some proposed language for the DNR to adopt concerning CO2 emissions and becoming carbon neutral because of the climate crisis and the fact that we're having effects of global warming and in this state and around the world. So I'm just wondering if what happened with that vote and if citizens of the state can still have input on that. And then just as an aside too, with water issues and these high capacity wells, I guess that's another question I have, if there's going to be more regulation on that, because certainly water issues around the world are of critical importance, and it's going to be more important every day.
Yeah, Jim, thank you. Secretary Cole, taking the Conservation Congress first.
Yes, the Conservation Congress is a bright light in natural resources in the state of Wisconsin. We're one of the only states that have this type of advisory body to the Natural Resource Board. And certainly, as having been on the Natural Resources Board and now as secretary, I count on their guidance. And it's wonderful to hear that for an organization like the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, that they too understand that climate change is an imminent danger to our livelihoods in this world. And for them to go on record asking for assistance and identifying the substantive nature of what causes it lets me know once again that this is an organization that wants to lead on climate change and make sure that fishers and hunting community and conservation organizations that we all rely on are equally as engaged about what they can do. And high cap wells, we are and can't speak to that particular issue because the Supreme Court is hearing that issue this week, heard briefings this week, and we will wait to hear back from the Supreme Court as to how they render a decision on our role and responsibilities around high cap wells.
Jim, thank you. Emily now in Madison has a question. Emily, hi, go ahead.
Hi, I work for a public library system, and one of the things that I've seen other states do, I believe Colorado is one and Indiana is another, is they have state park passes available for their patrons to check out. I believe over the last year with the pandemic, you know, we've seen articles about how there's been such an increase of people utilizing the state park system, and I was just hoping that that would be something maybe the DNR could help me set up as a way for maybe the state park to be more accessible to more people.
Emily, thank you. Secretary.
I absolutely appreciate the input on that from Emily. State parks were up 42% in terms of our park passes. Park attendance was up 22%. Again, boat registrations. People found a way to get outdoors. It's wonderful for us to hear the excitement around these issues, but also suggestions like Emily has provided. I will ensure that my staff, who are certainly listening to this program today, give us some feedback about opportunities that may exist around participation at with our local library systems. But that said, we know that folks, again, showed up in earnest at our natural areas, our state parks, our boat launches to get outdoors. That's a testament to our stewardship program. And this governor, again, in his budget, authorized another 10 years and $70 million so that we can continue the legacy that stewardship has provided us and provide the spaces necessary that people can get in the outdoors. Wisconsin is special in that way. We should be able to lean in very heavily in this state around capturing lands that would necessarily not get purchased, these unique ecosystems that we all have and all appreciate. But we know here in Wisconsin, our outdoors are part of our economy and natural and outdoor recreation. City, towns, and villages count on people driving to the far reaches around the state to look at these unique ecosystems and get into the outdoors. We believe there's also an economic development piece that stewardship provides. And so we're excited about that conversation that is beginning in earnest with regard to the governor's leading on stewardship and the Joint Finance Committee taking that issue up.
DNR Secretary Preston Cole is with us. Let's move on now to the wolf hunt. This week, your agency started seeking input on how to manage and plan for next fall's wolf hunt. And Russ from Stoughton would like to share his thoughts on it. Russ, hi, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Number one, I was totally against a wolf hunt of any kind. And number two, I was totally inflamed by the DNR's lack of backbone, which, as I understand, was forced to put the wolf hunt from an out-of-state, some out-of-state lawsuit during the mating season, the worst possible time. How do you defend that as wildlife management?
Secretary Cole, you know, the February hunt this year, it exceeded its quota as well. And Russ, you know, really upset about it.
You know, and Russ has every right to be concerned about the wolf hunt and how it occurred. Many Wisconsinites don't realize that when the wolf is delisted, that then triggers a hunt in the state of Wisconsin. And the Department of Natural Resources then begins the planning process. We had proposed in January, after the wolf was delisted, that we begin in earnest and work throughout 2021 to develop the rules, the regulatory framework, the quotas, and we have a significant role with our tribal partners to, they too have something to say about it. And those consultations are important to the laws that we have on the books relative to a wolf hunt. That said, we did not want to go into a wolf hunt haphazardly. And consequently, we did not want to do that. Consequently, we were sued by an organization called Hunter Nation, and that court rendered a decision. The department then appealed, and that appeal was not taken up, and that hunt began in earnest. And that hunt, again, there's the previous administration at the DNR all but buttoned up the wolf program. And what that means is that program basically was put on the shelf because the wolf was delisted. Well, you still have to do the requisite counts, and certainly that occurred, but there's a lot that has to occur. We believe there are substantive statutory changes about reporting your wolf after you've taken that wolf, and other changes that need to be updated as part of a almost 10-year-old, 11-year-old wolf statute. So Russ has every right to be concerned about how this went down. My responsibility and the DNR's responsibility is to fix it.
And we only have a couple seconds left here, but what should happen with the wolf hunt in the fall?
Well, we are in the process of taking public input. And this is the bright light of how we go about our rulemaking. We hear from a lot of people. We have the wolf management plan committee in play, and we also have a wolf quota committee. Those two groups would advise us, as they always have, whether it's a wolf committee or a bear committee. We count on stakeholders that represent a large amount of, and quite honestly, divergent opinions about wolves, and we then work with them. They issue the wolf management plan, which hasn't been updated since 1999. I think there was a framework of some sort back in 2014. Those plans guide us.
And Secretary Cole, we are out of time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. Always a pleasure. Call me whenever.
And this is the Ideas Network.